we're ready to begin. Are we good? All right, I would like to call the Complaint Screening Committee meeting together. Ms. Poe, would you like to do a roll call?
Yes, Madam Chair. Ms. Shreve?
Present.
Dr. Bohansky?
Present.
Dr. Meyer? We have a quorum.
First item on the agenda is the approval of the regular session minutes on November 20th, 2019.
So moved.
I second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Second item is approval of the executive session minutes on November 20th, 2019.
So moved.
I second it, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, hearing no objections. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And I second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, and the meeting's now over at 8:31.
Dr. Mott, you can start the mini meeting for the...
I'd like to call the meeting of the Application Review Committee of December 6th to order. Ms. Poe, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes, Dr. Flowers?
Present.
Dr. Mott?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Okay, do I hear, we are here to approve the minutes of the December 6th, 2019 meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve?
I make a motion that they be approved as amended.
I second it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We are done with that item. Do I hear a move to adjourn?
I make that motion.
A second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion is approved, be adjourned.
Great, thank you very much. The time now is 8:32. I'm going to call, I'm calling the meeting of the Arizona Board of College Examiners to order. Ms. Poe, would you please do the roll call?
Yes, Madam Chair. Ms. Shreve?
Here.
Dr. Davis Wilson? Dr. Flowers?
Present.
Dr. Bohansky?
Present.
Dr. Davy?
Present.
Mr. Dinar? Dr. Gill?
Present.
Dr. Meyer? Dr. Mott?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Poe. Please note that the times stated on the agenda are approximate. The board makes every effort to begin proceedings at the scheduled time. The board may suspend the discussion of one agenda item, proceed to a timed item, and then return to the former agenda item at a later date. I'd like to welcome Dr. Stephen Gill to our board. So glad to have you.
Thank you.
This is his first meeting. Do you want to just provide a little background on yourself?
Sure. I am originally from California. I had a professional practice there as a therapist, as a psychological evaluator, and I had a postdoc in neuropsychology. I moved to Arizona in 2005. I went through the ASPBB process. I think I have the initials right. And I got my license right away, transferring from California to Arizona. So I was really pleased with what they did for me personally. So I know that issue comes up a lot in this group. So it's probably good to have somebody that's actually gone through it. I've had until recently, practice in Sedona and in Prescott as a therapist and as a assessor. I also have a number of interests in psychology. I've recently wrote an article on diagnosing a public figure that you haven't personally assessed. I wrote another article on the dangers of the impact of movies like The Joker on the general public, particularly in the environment that we live in. So I've done presentations on memory, so that gives you a little background in what I'm doing. I've let go of my practice in Prescott and Sedona. I now live in Sun City West, and I work part-time in Prescott as an evaluator only, and I'm in part-time retirement right now. And then I'm starting this new opportunity. So thank you very much for offering me this opportunity to be a member of this board. I really appreciate it.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Thank you. Thanks for being part of our membership. All right, all those that are interested in continuing education credits, licensee who attend boards meetings may receive continuing education credit for their attendance. Credit may be used to fulfill ethics requirements. For psychologists who wish to receive CE credits for attending the meetings, forms are available on the table by the door or from a board staff member. Please consult with staff on how to properly document your attendance to receive credit. And there's also board surveys in the back of the room. The board encourages everyone to in attendance today to provide feedback by completing the board assessment forms. Please place the completed forms in the survey box located on the table in the back. And I'd like to thank you to the board members. I know all of you, it's a lot of time and effort to prep for these meetings, a lot of reading. Thank you so much for that, for your support. And also a big thank you to our board staff. We are in a transition point. We have new members. We have a new director. I knew as the chair, and there's a lot of communication, a lot of guidance, a lot of help, and you guys are awesome. And thank you so much for keeping us all straight and going in the right direction. So you guys are, thank you so much. All right. Item number four on the agenda is call to the public. Ms. Poe, is there anyone who's requested to speak?
Madam Chair, none at this time.
Okay, thank you. Item five is our consent agenda. For the record, are there any recusals from items on the consent agenda? I'm hearing none. The board members?
Aye.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, I'm going to recuse from item four, C4.
Okay, any others? All right, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda item?
I second.
Dr. Flowers?
I'll second.
Oh, you second? All right, thank you, Dr. Davies. We got a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. The first timed item isn't until 9 o'clock, so I'm going to go ahead and move to item number 11, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding self-report submitted by Lynn Turrell. And Ms. Mickelson, would you like to provide an overview?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. On November 5th of 2019, Dr. Full self-reported a DUI that occurred in February 2018 in California, which is where she currently resides. In review of the police report, Dr. Full was administered a breathalyzer test only, which measured her blood alcohol content at 0.07%. Dr. Full did not notify the board of the DUI charge in accordance with statute 32-3208, which requires that a healthcare professional contact the regulatory board within 10 working days after the charge has been filed. In review of the documentation that Dr. Full submitted, the DUI charge was filed with the court in April 2018, approximately a year and a half before receiving her self-report. Additionally, in December of 2018, Dr. Full submitted her license renewal application and did not check yes to the background question, which asks if the licensee is currently waiting trial, has been charged with or convicted of a felony or misdemeanor. Dr. Full's renewal application was submitted approximately 6 months after the DUI charge. Included in my memo is Dr. Full's response regarding why she did not submit the self-report within the statutory requirement and the reasoning for not reporting it on her renewal application. Dr. Full represents in her written response that she was in denial about the charge. Dr. Full also represents that she was convicted of DUI in August of 2019, but that the order of probation has stayed as she is in the process of appealing the conviction. She also indicated that the appeal is in the early stages and that her attorney is awaiting for the requested information from the court clerk. She has submitted all requested documentation to staff in a timely manner. As well, she maintains a psychologist license in Arizona, California, Idaho, and Hawaii. She has submitted information from the California and Idaho boards, which reflects that no action has been taken and that the case has been closed. This documentation was included with my memo. Yesterday, Dr. Full did reach out to me and indicate that she had spoke with the Hawaii board, and they have not yet reviewed the self-report, so it is currently pending before that board. She is present here today and wishes to address the board. This does conclude my summary. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you very much. Dr. Full, are you here? Would you like to come forward? If you could state your name, go ahead, have a seat. If you could state your name for the record.
Good morning. My name is Dr. Lynn Thaw.
Nice to have you here. Thank you so much for coming. I know it's difficult. You're a friendly group. If you'd like to provide a summary of the situation and...
Sure. As you said, it's very difficult, very embarrassing. And as I stated, I kind of backed off and let my attorney handle the civil suit. So according to my attorney, at the time, it was not filed charges until, and he was working on motions for dismissal. The case was partially dismissed immediately because I was below legal limit and because of some technical challenges that occurred during the process. So the final conviction was not until late October, and I notified the board in November, and as stated, it's currently under appeal. As all of the requirements are unstayed, I have gone ahead and started the education courses, which are not required at this point, but will be. I'm almost done with those. It's been an interesting experience as I've actually developed some educational materials for other entities, and this one's way behind the times, so I'll deal with that later. But I think it's also important to state that I rarely do patient care anymore. I actually do a lot of policy and procedures. I'm listed as a Medicaid expert, and I work in multiple states, and that's why I have the multiple licenses. I put forward legislation about children's mental health to improve mental health. Psychology is actually my second career. Excuse me. I started out as an educator, special education, actually here in Phoenix in a very impoverished neighborhood. And because I could not make an impact on the kids I worked with, because of their family situations, I went back and got my master's. That didn't do a lot of good, so I went back and got my PhD to deal better with the kids and their family systems. Since then, I've always worked in public mental health. I've never run a for-profit private practice, and I've always worked with either uninsured or Medicaid clients. So my current clinical practice is limited to psychological evaluations pro bono, and independent education evaluations and psychological evaluations for second opinions when the system has not looked out for the best interest in the clients. And my primary direct service is working in third world countries, Panama, Madagascar, have a trip scheduled to Cambodia to provide brief counseling and work with the rest of the medical team that goes down on those services. So especially for that volunteer work, I do need to maintain my license. I have not done work in California for a very long time. I moved out of the state in 89 and commuted back and forth for a while until the mid-90s. But California is my first love. I'm a proud ASU grad and NAU grad, and started my clinical practice at Phoenix Children's Hospital here in Phoenix, and been licensed here since 93. So it's more for my love of the state that I've kept my license here than out of necessity. So I have learned from this experience that even one drink while driving is too many. And I was also very sleep deprived at the time. I was working 80 to 90 hours a week, so the majority of the problem was being tired. So being tired is even more of an issue in driving than drinking at all. And this will not be repeated. I am open to any questions the board has.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
I have one question. How familiar were you, I think to me the biggest issue is two, there's really two issues. One is that failing to report within 10 days. And the second one is how you responded on the licensing application, the renewal. So how familiar are you with our statutes and how do you, what do you do to keep yourself abreast of the statute?
I'm more familiar with the other states where I'm more active, California and Idaho. Not as much as I should be, and I recognize that is my responsibility. Also, unfortunately, I was going by the advice of my attorney, who's a criminal attorney and not a psychological attorney. And that was not his expertise, so that was my fault too, with not consulting with someone with that expertise. And his guidance was that the case would be dropped and no charges would be dropped. And my understanding is charges had not been brought at that point.
So when you got the DUI, did you go and check our statutes?
I did not.
Because that's where the 10 days.
Dr. Witt, your alcohol level was below?
Yes.
But you were still charged?
Yes. That's why it's on appeal. All right.
And what have you, and did the other two states, Idaho, Hawaii, require a notification?
Yes. Yes, they did require a notification.
And did you provide notification to them?
Yes. And that was within 10 days of, I think it was within 30 days of conviction, but they don't require anything with arrest.
So they require 30 days of conviction, not charge?
Correct. Yeah, this is the only state that, of the four states I'm licensed in that has a charge. The rest are conviction.
And what have you learned from this experience?
That I need, as if I maintain my license in a state, I need to also be up to date with the legalities of that state. And as far as the board is concerned, and as I mentioned, I've learned from the DUI that not even one drink is okay while you're drinking. But definitely legal needs to go beyond the regular tear us off and patients' rights issue, and the legal actually needs to go with the regulations of the board too. That needs to be updated and something I keep reviewing.
All right, thank you. Any further questions?
One more. When you completed the renewal application and the question, did you pause to think what the question meant? Because you marked no.
Yes, I did pause to think about it.
But you still marked no?
Yes.
At that point, did you think of calling the board office and asking them what they mean by that question?
I did not.
Okay, because that could have helped.
Correct. Yes, I realize that.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate you being here.
Yeah. Any further questions? Dr. Flowers, did you?
Yes, it was very similar to that of Dr. Milan. You know, just kind of, you know, item 13 on the renewal is, have you been arrested for things including DUIs? And you said no. And what I read in your written response was you're in denial. Still means you weren't honest. And then I guess you were going with the legal, until I'm convicted, I'm considered innocent kind of idea, kind of.
Yeah, well, beyond that, his advice was that the arrest would be thrown out and not recorded.
Okay, but, you know, the issue, of course, is you were arrested, whether it was bogus or not.
Correct.
So even if it was thrown out, you still have to report it, and you'd say it was thrown out, you know. You do understand
that? Yes, I
do. Any further questions? I really appreciate you being here.
This is a time for the board members to deliberate. Any comments, thoughts, recommendations? Dr. Flowers?
Yes, no, neither is a violation, but, you know, she has taken some action to remedy the problem, and I think a renewal and also a non-disciplinary letter of concern would be appropriate.
CEs.
CEs.
CEs would be good too. Mm-hmm. In regards to, like, ethics would be appropriate, maybe 3 hours.
I would support that.
So you want to, is that a motion?
I'd make a motion that the issue be dealt with through a non-disciplinary letter of concern, and that as part of that, she be required to complete a minimum of 3 hours of CEs in ethics within 90 days.
That are not considered part of the renewal CEs?
Yeah, so when you renew, they don't count for the next renewal cycle. They just count to kind of get this taken care of.
So be in addition to?
Yes.
In addition to what's required in the renewal cycle. Is 90 days enough to take this?
Yes.
Is that, okay, just want to confirm. All right, so we have a motion on the floor.
Second.
And we have a second.
I have a question about the procedural, and I just want to consult with board staff, because I don't believe an investigation has been initiated yet by the board on this.
Correct, so procedurally, we'll need to open a complaint first, and then proceed with either a letter of concern or non-disciplinary consent agreement. So the first step is to open.
Can we open, go ahead, open the complaint, offer this, and if the person accepts it, then we can close it, and then we're done. We've done that before.
Correct.
All right, so the motion also includes opening a complaint. Is that a friendly amendment?
That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. When you have a finding that there's a violation of the rule, then you have to open the complaint. So
okay.
We open it, we offer the settlement of continuing education letter of concern. If doctor accepts that, then we close the complaint. Hold on.
Your standard practice is to direct staff with regards to the language of the letter of
yes.
concern?
Yes.
So the letter of concern would be for failing to timely report?
Right. Failing to timely submit, notify the state regarding her DUI, and also failing
to disclose.
To disclose on the license.
On the license.
Renewal.
Right, the renewal.
Okay. Yes.
Right.
But it is a non-disciplinary letter of concern, so it is not reported to the national database.
That is correct. However, it is a public document.
Yes.
Call the question.
All right. All right. Are we take a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion moves forward. All right. Thank you. You'll be hearing from our staff then. All right. We still have some additional time. Why don't we go to item...
Madam Chair, if we may go to agenda item number 13, Dr. Goldfein is present here today.
Perfect, thank you. All right, we're going to move to item 13, discussion, consideration of possible action regarding request to terminate probation in the case of 16-15, Dr. Deborah Goldfein. Ms. Mickelson, would you like to provide a summary?
Yes, Madam Chair and board members. This matter is before the board today to review Dr. Goldfein's December 19th request to be released from the consent agreement and to terminate probation. In October of 2017, the board reviewed Dr. Goldfein's application for licensure and moved to approve the application if Dr. Goldfein agreed to enter into a consent agreement. The consent agreement was executed on December 19, 2017 and stipulated the following: 24 months of probation, complete a 3-semester credit course in ethics, receive at least 2 hours of in-person supervision for every 20 hours worked for a minimum of 6 months. After 6 months, and upon recommendation of the supervisor and approval by the board, the supervision may be decreased to 1 hour. The final requirement was to submit to bodily fluid testing twice monthly for no less than 3 months. At the board's meeting in June of 2019, the members reviewed Dr. Goldfein's letter requesting changes to the consent agreement. The board moved to make a new amendment to the consent agreement, which would require 2 hours of monitoring per 40 hours work for a minimum of 6 months, and no written requirement for bodily fluid testing. Dr. Goldfein offered to continue testing on a monthly basis for the duration of probation. This amended consent agreement was executed on June 21st. Following this, Dr. Goldfein completed 6 months of supervision with Dr. Bhutani. In his December 19th report, he supported her petition for release from the consent agreement. In addition, Dr. Goldfein has continued to submit to bodily fluid testing through TASC on a twice monthly basis for the remainder of 2019. The testing results are included with the board's materials. In regards to the last requirement, Dr. Goldfein has completed the graduate level ethics course and the official transcript is included. If the board determines that Dr. Goldfein has completed all stipulations set forth in the consent agreement to their satisfaction, then the board can make a motion to release her from the consent agreement. I believe Dr. Goldfein is present today, should the members have any questions for her. And that concludes my summary. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your summary. Members, do you have any questions for Dr. Goldfein? Not seeing any. We've heard the summary. Are there any comments or recommendations?
I believe Dr. Bufani is an excellent supervisor, and it appears the candidates not only met the stipulations, but gone over and above them. So I would move that we release her from probation, having satisfied the conditions.
We have a motion. Any second?
I second the motion.
Dr. Flowers seconds the motion. Any comments, discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you. We have 5 minutes. I wanted to move to item number 17, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding ASPPB invitation to fund executive director's participation in the mid-year meeting. Executive director would like to provide a summary.
Certainly. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. The ASPPB, Association of State and Provincial Psychology Boards, maintains a fund to support the participation of essentially new board administrators to orient them to the organization, provide a learning opportunity. The first such opportunity is the mid-year meeting in April. So I have expressed my interest in attending, funded by ASPPB. I have researched the state travel requirements as it relates to international travel, because this meeting is being held in Montreal, Quebec. There are no prohibitions or restrictions to me traveling internationally, and because this event will be funded by a third party, there aren't any of those specific requirements to comply with. So because this is, however, international travel, I would like the record to reflect that the board considered this matter and voted accordingly.
Right. Thank you for the summary. Any comments from the boards?
I think it's an absolute necessity that our executive director meet with her colleagues from the various jurisdictions of ASPPB, and that's a freebie, so let's
take advantage. I totally agree. Is there, is a motion?
I so move.
Do we have to move?
I think she wanted it for official record.
Okay.
And so is there a second?
Second.
Dr. Malott seconds it. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none.
We can do one more item if you want.
Well, I just want to, real quick, should we be sending in the past we've sent board members, right? A board member? So can we talk about that on the next agenda? Or I don't think it's agenda-sized.
Yes, Madam Chair. So I have reviewed the budget, where we are in terms of the fiscal year expenditures and the budget, and there definitely is a fund balance remaining where we could send the only meeting remaining for the remainder of the fiscal year would be the mid-year meeting. So I can ask ASPPB to send materials. They haven't posted anything yet, but if they have a preliminary agenda or at least some material to present to you at the next meeting,
my strong recommendation is that Dr. Gill be asked to take from his schedule and attend, because there is a new board member orientation. Hours attending that count toward the state requirement for training of board members, and it also will give them a good orientation toward regulatory psychology and what happens within the jurisdiction. So if we, it's fairly traditional here to take new board members and try to bring them up to speed as quickly as we can.
All right, we can discuss that at the next meeting, because that's not agenda-sized, but it's definitely a thought. Thank you. So we'd have enough time at the next, in the February meeting to
approve it.
Yeah. Perfect. So Dr. Malott, you want to get another?
Yeah, I can do this. I can do item 15 really quick.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, item 15 is, we didn't have a quorum, so that's why it's moved to this agenda. Dr. Rudo Stern is applying for a temporary license. The deadline for the exam was January 13th. It passed. Her application has been reviewed by the full board before, And so it's really just a re-review, so I'm not going to go through any of the details. We just need to approve her request to sit for the exam as well as the accommodations that were requested, and it's all.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Dr. Rudo Stern has not been reviewed before.
Oh.
Is a brand-new application.
I'm sorry. Why did I think that? Oh, I'm looking at the wrong one. I was looking at Dr. Angulo.
What item's that?
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
I looked at the wrong item.
Which item?
So what item are you on, Dr. Malat?
One second, there's something. You know what, the.
The links are off on.
The links are wrong, that's why.
If you click, the links move, they're two on one and.
I was like, and I sounded kind of, I was looking at all that stuff.
Sorry.
That's not what I remember. Okay, it's off, yeah. Let me try and find the right link now.
So which person are we talking about?
I'm going to have to find the link. Is it the number 14, Doctor?
That's Dr. Durantis? That's a.
I can't find the link. So where is the link?
For Stern? Dr. Rudo Stern?
Yeah.
Rudo Stern.
It's 15.
No, it didn't come up on mine either.
If you go into the folders, if you go back to the local disk folder, you can see the application under agenda items.
No, that's the wrong link.
No.
No, just go to the top folder.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
No, but it's the wrong.
That's wrong.
Yeah, that's Dr. Angulo.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, let me go up and.
Okay, all right, so let's move, we will hold off on that.
Is it on the portal? It's the wrong one even in the folder.
I don't have my notes at home.
All right, it is 9:00. We can move ahead then with the timed item we have. The first, we'll move ahead with that. The first time item is complaint number 2012, Eric Frey. The agenda item 6A involves a complaint reviewed by the Committee on Behavioral Analysts and their recommendation to the board. Dr. Davies, would you like to provide a brief summary of the case?
Yes, thank you. Members of the board, this is the initial review of the complaint number 2012 involving licensee Eric Frey and complainant Katie C. I was lead board member in this case and will provide a brief factual overview of the case. The complaint alleged several items, mostly around professional conduct. We had access to emails, we had access to communications, we had references to discussions at professional meetings. The allegation was that there were multiple sections of the BACB's Professional and Ethical Compliance Code that were violated. I will remind the board that the BACB's Professional and Ethical Compliance Code is an ethical standard adopted by to be able to hold licensed behavior analysts in the state of Arizona accountable to the highest level of conduct and to help us protect the public and those they may serve. The concern was with regard to a particular case that Mr. Frey was working on along with his staff, the team. Upon receiving notice of the complaint, we did understand that the individual licensee did speak to the complainant, offered an apology. That apology email was sent. The licensee acknowledged the fact that he had been, in his terms, bombastic and unprofessional in his response, and he recognized that it compromised his ability to work in a collaborative fashion with school personnel, and that it was not going to improve the outcome of the client he was working with. The committee looked at the complaint. The licensee was on the phone. The complainant did not attend, if I remember correctly. Licensee, Mr. Frey, was questioned on several levels with regard to his conduct, with regard to any particular medical situations that may or may not be leading to his turd and brief email or in unprofessional emails. The committee also asked that Mr. Fred explain the steps that he had taken with regard to similar events, to make sure that similar events would not occur in the future. He walked through those. He has apologized to the staff, and he accepted fully publicly and acknowledged his behavior as unprofessional and unacceptable. He stated that he was determined to learn from this and that it would never occur again. He stated that the communication he issued was not reflective of his typical conduct with clients. The committee did discuss the relevant sections of the BACB code, falling under Arizona's code of, I believe, ARS 322061 DB, violating an ethical standard adopted by the board. After deliberation, the committee voted to forward this complaint to the full board with a recommendation to dismiss the case with a non-disciplinary letter of concern that addresses the issues that were discussed. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Mr. Frey here?
Yes, Madam Chair, he is present. The complainant is not present today.
Okay. Mr. Frey, would you like to come forward? Thank you for being here today. Please have a seat. Would you like to state your name for the record?
Eric Frey.
Thank you for being here. Would you like to make any comments to the board?
No, I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn from the experience and go forward.
Did you think the summary pretty much accurately represented the situation?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board members? Dr. Flowers.
Yes, I'm just wondering, I appreciate your being here and also the documentation you provide. What I'm wondering, looking through everything that happened, wondering what your responsibility was to the school. I don't think you worked for the school district, right? You worked privately?
Right. The client served was attending Manzanita Elementary. So I was hired by the family to provide behavior analytic services. And so this child with initials MW was attending Manzanita Elementary.
And I'm wondering what responsibility you had to the school system, if any.
I would say that to problem solve and to apply the best behavior analytic services I could at the time. And that was, he was aggressive. He was being, my client with initials MW was being, had engaged in repeated aggression, both on the bus in the morning, at least the morning bus ride to the school, as well as on the school grounds. During normal, regular school hours. So my responsibility was to, in the vernacular, be a good behavioral detective and figure out what was going on, reconcile reports that I was receiving versus what my own staff were telling me, and then reconcile why the school did not either know and or acknowledge the level of his aggression, which was significant, moderate to severe. Towards a service animal as well as a fellow student. So my responsibility, Dr. Flowers, was to, as I call it in the vernacular, be a good behavioral detective and figure out what these differing reports were and try to sift through what I could do, given my training and education and just the information that was bubbling up to me, and I had access to vis-a-vis staff, the staff I supervise, to registered behavior technicians in this case, and just try to apply judgment and just really just try to analyze the situation. Why was this occurring? Why wasn't the school aware of it? Why was the school reporting that a bus aide was present in the morning on the school ride into the to Manzanita, and why just by propinquity and just having a therapist that had her own son on this, on the very same bus, just adventitiously that information came to me. And so I just feel like I was always taught, my training and my preparation was such that I wanted to get to the bottom of this, and I wanted to prevent further risk of injury to his peers, my client, and the service animal on the morning bus ride.
I know with some individuals, clients, there's a case manager that kind of oversees things and coordinates and all that. Did this client, or does this client have that?
Not from my company. I'm pretty small potatoes as far as.
Oh, okay.
I'm just a kind of like mom and pop.
Well, what I mean though is there are times you can be service providers, but there's somebody kind of farming out the individual to get everything done for the individual. Did this client have that?
With my company, with someone on my staff?
Not necessarily your company, but for example, some people have, you know, many needs, have a case manager to make sure the person gets mental health services, medical services, and so on.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm wondering, it sounds as if you kind of acted as a case manager, and I'm not sure, I'm not a behavioral analyst, you know, a psychologist, and I know there are times I can sometimes be in charge of a case and coordination. Other times I just provide services and then try to assist the client to navigate the system himself or herself or whoever is responsible for that individual. So I'm wondering if you felt that you needed to not only be behavioral analyst, but you needed to kind of also help the person and the system to function more efficiently or better. Is that kind of the way you saw it?
I think without such support as a case manager, I would really talk and establish conversation as much as possible with the teacher, the special education teacher in this case. It was very limited. I think I acknowledge considerable frustration given the language barrier. I don't speak Chinese or Mandarin like the parents do. And I think just acknowledging and confronting considerable frustration in so doing, and in communicating what was going on, trying to decipher what's occurring, what am I hearing from the school, why am I hearing that they're not really they're not acknowledging, either acknowledging or even aware of his aggression, of the level of his aggression. So I've had communications with the teacher, but that was part of the frustration, I feel like, on my part at least. I feel that there's just a lack of coordination. I'm hearing the parents say to me repeatedly, they don't feel understood by the school personnel, the school officials. They don't feel listened to, and with the language barrier, even something like understanding the bilingual teacher that my client had during the day, which is mounting frustration. I think I have to stay in my lane to speak in the vernacular and just remember I'm a behavior analyst, not a special education advocate or a special education attorney. I'm a behavior analyst, and I've learned that I need to stay in my lane, I need to be more diplomatic, and I shouldn't throw stones. Whether or not I live in a glass house, I shouldn't throw stones, I shouldn't cast aspersions or send very pointed emails that are unprofessional and bombastic. I think I've learned a great deal from this whole experience. But I don't know if that answers.
It does, and I guess I'm thinking that this is a special education student.
Correct.
And usually there are special education coordinators and IEPs and all of that, and they kind of have committees.
I do acknowledge also that we had provided behavior analytic services in terms of a paraprofessional that was with this client, this child with initials MW, and that was at the after school program, not during regular school hours. so, and then at home. So I admit that I had been to the school during the after-school program. We were not permitted to, we weren't, I was only really allowed to provide any kind of supervision because our registered behavior technician, whom I supervised, we were not allowed to provide any kind of support during regular school hours. We were only permitted to provide that support at the after-school program. And so it was just feeling that, again, reconciling the reports or the way the school had either not known that of this level of aggression and or had, when it was brought to their attention, their seeming effort to minimize that or not even acknowledge that was, again, admittedly a source of frustration. And that was one of the things I needed.
Thank you. Can't take much time here, but other board members may want to ask questions.
Any other questions? All right, thank you, Mr. Frey, for being here. You can go ahead and take a seat back in the audience. This is a time now where the committee now discusses and deliberates the matter. Dr. Davies, would you please begin the discussion, and would you like to make a motion?
Yes, so I'll just go back to the points that I've already made with regard to the discussion. I appreciate Dr. Flowers' question. That's very similar to the line of discussion that we had with Mr. Frey during the meeting. That discussion of a fine line of being a provider to an individual while trying to work within the community, while also trying to make sure that individuals that are at risk are receiving proper services. It is, as someone who has worked in both the public and private school systems as a professional, it can be frustrating from time to time to work with IEP teams, to work with school groups, as well as with parents and our members, and they don't always have, but they sometimes have competing interests and competing, and they have a lack of resources, which is just the reality of what we have going on. That does not excuse the behavior of becoming frustrated, which was what the committee was very concerned with regard to. However, we did vote as a committee to dismiss the complaint with a non-disciplinary letter of concern that addressed the issues described that included collaborative and professional conduct, that conduct must adhere to the BACB code of conduct, and consideration of Mr. Frey's self-disclosed conditions. That would be my motion.
All right, thank you. You got a motion? Is there a second?
I second.
We had a motion and a second, so the motion is to accept the subcommittee's motion. Any comments or questions?
I have a question. There was an issue of multiple relationships. Was that addressed here?
Yeah, we explored that. There was no findings of that.
No findings. I'm sorry. Okay.
All right. We have a motion and a second.
I had a question for Mr. Davey, because I know your committee reviewed it, and some of the allegations were pretty, I mean, I was concerned with the kind of letter that was writing, and, you know, I mean, that seems, I'm concerned, you know, when I see psychologists doing things like that. We've definitely recommended some CEs or some, you know, just things that, Mr. Frey has been in practice for over 13 years.
15 years.
So, I think it's a long time, and I would see that for a new professional, you know, kind of still learning the ropes, but not for an experience.
And I think that if you would make that friendly amendment of some CUs, I would gladly accept that, Dr. Vaughn.
Okay. I would like to make that.
Mm-hmm. I accept that.
What were the areas of the CUs?
I think it has to be around professional conduct and ethics. Mm-hmm. Would be my.
And how many and how many hours?
I would let Ms.
I think three
in ethics and three in professional conduct?
Correct. And similar to the discussion previously, that would not count towards research or early licensure in the state.
So it'd be in addition to what's required?
Correct.
All right, so we have a motion and an amendment then that would include a 6 credits in continuing education with 3 in ethics and 3 in professional conduct or related.
And within 90 days?
I agree.
And within 90 days.
All right. And Dr. Bohansky, do you accept the amendment? I believe you seconded, right?
Yeah, I'll accept.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Now, hear any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Great. Mr. Gray, thank you for being here today. Our next item is item seven, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding complaint number 20-16 for Colton Oliver.
Madam Chair, if I may, the complainant is not present yet. She indicated that she'll be available after 9:30. So if we may go back to agenda item number 15 regarding Dr. Rudo Stern's application, Ms. Spolks provided the materials.
Okay, thank you.
And I can go ahead and do the summary. I apologize for the, and I was looking at it, it doesn't sound familiar, but it's in the notes. So, Dr. Rudo Stern is a graduate from ASU in 2019 in clinical psychology. She graduated. She is submitting pre-doc hours, which she completed at an APA-approved internship place, the Metro Health Center, for 2065. At this point, we do not have a postdoc verification. However, Dr. Rudo Stern is only applying for permission to sit for the exam, and at some point, we will review her exam scores and her postdoc. So there was no problem with the application. And I'd like to move that we approve our application to sit for the EPPOB.
I got a motion. Is there a second?
Again, we'll second it.
Okay, is it motion second?
Discussion.
Discussion.
One of the issues in the request was for accommodations on the
There was a whole confusion with the application. I'm
okay,
sorry.
That's not in
nothing. There. So yeah. You have the new materials here. There's no.
Okay, so
there
is no.
There was no, that was a typo on my part. Somebody on the else? Original
okay.
Memo.
Okay, yeah, okay. I didn't see it because it wasn't there.
Yeah, all right. This is just a straightforward application.
Okay.
The only reason it's coming before the board is because I didn't have a quorum. Yeah.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. All right, I heard someone join on the phone. Is that Dr. Davis Wilson? Maybe not.
I believe she said she would be coming in around
9:30. Oh, coming in.
So if we may go to one of the other untimed items.
All right. So how about if we go to...
Okay, the applicant is on the phone. Thank
okay.
You.
We're going to be waiting just a few more minutes to go to move with a few other items before your case, Mr. Oliver.
Okay, thank you.
If we want to go to item number 412, just an update on the draft bills, our executive director.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. The legislation drafting process is a work in process. However, I was delighted to see that Senate Bill 1054 has been introduced, which is the board's continuation bill. By way of reminder, the sunset hearing before the Health Committee of Reference isn't even scheduled until next Wednesday. So typically, the presentation to the Committee of Reference precedes the drafting of the bill. However, because our hearing was scheduled late relative to the other agencies under consideration for continuation, we have a bill. So I will do my best to not sabotage the bill moving forward and as a result of what occurs at the hearing next Wednesday. Any questions about our continuation bill? Pretty straightforward, standard language, but I'm happy to answer any questions about that piece of legislation.
This is a separate bill than our overall legislative effort?
Yes, Dr. Bohansky. Typically what you see are bills that are specific to continuation, and then our bill, which is very much a work in process, would be a separate piece of legislation.
Okay.
With a different number.
Is there a need for us to appear?
Dr. Bohansky, I would encourage any board member who can attend to be there by way of, you know, showing, demonstrating support to the committee of reference, certainly, and I would acknowledge your presence and...
Is the temperature of the legislature such that it's an issue this year?
Dr. Bohansky, based on what I have seen with the other health boards who preceded us with continuation hearings, that would be homeopathic medicine, athletic training, those are the two that I recall, their hearings went very smoothly. Typical questions, I've met with both of their executive directors to inquire, you know, what to expect, how did you prepare? You know, they didn't experience anything, and I haven't received anything by way of, you know, suggesting there would be a bumpy road.
I'm just concerned with regulatory issues being so hot right now that we could walk in and find there is no need for a psychology board. And I would want to be prepared for why if that were the case, but great, thank you.
Certainly, and I appreciate that. I found when watching the recordings of those two hearings, I found the members of that committee to be, to appreciate the role of the regulatory boards, to be, you know, supportive and receptive to what the boards do, how they're modifying their practices to be better regulators. So that being said, of course, you know, the committee of reference is just a subset of the full legislature, so...
And that's a Senate Health Committee?
Yes.
Who's chaired by?
That's Senator Brophy McGee.
Okay, good, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, then the other piece is the legislation that is still in draft mode. What I presented to you was just the language specific to fingerprinting, obtaining a fingerprint clearance card. I reviewed the language. I don't have any concerns about it, but I would, what I want to ensure is that it does reflect the historical conversations this board had predating me in terms of what you wanted from that legislation. And I will point out just one distinction that I'm seeing with our draft fingerprint language compared to the other health boards that are running fingerprint language. The other health boards are requiring a fingerprint clearance card with no provision to grant the board any authority to consider an applicant with a denied card. For what that is worth, those boards have made obviously a policy decision, a card is required. This board in its language is proposing having the authority to evaluate the facts and circumstances behind a denied card.
So they're accepting a denied card? That's what I'm hearing say?
No, they're not.
They're not accepting.
There's no exception.
To catch up, and we did have lengthy discussion here prior to your arrival. This board can find itself in a spot if, in fact, we don't have some alternative appeal processes or review processes, such as the case with the pending Argosy issue, where other boards have been able to deal with it in a straightforward fashion. We have our hands tied by not having such an option. Would again caution that it's not an all or none. There are situations, and I think if anyone needs to be aware of that, that's us. And I would like the freedom for the board to be able to make exception when exception is necessary.
Thank you.
I'm in full support of that. I'm aware of cases where full restitution was done, but because of that, there's some, any crime with a minor, regardless, even if it happens, is an automatic denial. And, you know, the person could be in good standing for 30 years. And there's a lot of things that result in automatic denial of the fingerprint card. So I would like the...
It's a sweeping law, and I don't want it to sweep away good people.
All right,
and
so it's
keep that in there.
So we can have a discussion, it's not agenda size to go too deep into it, but it appears as though for what we have on there is what consensus is. So, anything else?
No, thank you, members of the board. That will help me as I'm sure I'll be asked to testify as if this bill appears on the same agenda as other bills, I can explain the distinction. So thank you.
All right, thank you. Let's go to item number 14. Ms. Poe, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding licensing renewal and reinstatement request from Leslie Barbara Urentes.
Yes, Madam Chair and members of the board, on December 11th, 2019, the board office received Ms. Barrera Durantes' behavior analyst application for license renewal and reinstatement, wherein she admitted to practicing on an expired license for a brief period of time. On January 6th of 2020, the Committee on Behavior Analysts reviewed the documentation reflecting that Ms. Barrera Durantes did not renew her license by the deadline of October 31st, 2019, and practiced as a behavior analyst until December 4th, 2019. It was the consensus of the committee to forward the application to the board with the recommendation to approve the reinstatement request, but to issue a letter of concern addressing the conduct. All information has been provided for your review. The licensee was present telephonically for the January 6th committee meeting, but is not present today. And that concludes my summary.
So if we were to do that, you'd need to open a complaint.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Any discussion?
I'll just speak for the committee that that's correct. We'd like to open that complaint. That I believe the licensee was open to that suggestion during the Committee of Behavior Analysts meeting. She recognized that she failed to understand our statutes and our licensing law. She took responsibility for that. However, we do believe that that letter of concern is justified given practicing without a license, and lack of knowledge of the statutes is not a defense for not following the rules.
All right. Are you making a motion?
I move that we accept the committee's findings.
All right. Is there a second?
I second the motion.
You got a motion and a second. Any comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. We're still waiting. Okay, so let's go ahead to item number.
Could you give me a 5-minute break?
Sure.
A comfort break.
Let's do a comfort break. For those on the phone, we are going to do a 10-minute comfort break. So we will be back in 10 minutes. Should they just hold on the phone? Just put it on mute, and we will be back.